Something in the book of Exodus a little bit, and a couple of weeks ago we were looking at some things that was going on when God called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. We're going to continue on that journey just a little bit here in Exodus chapter 17. And as we move there, I want to kind of give you an insight here that God is always doing more than we can see, and we'll see a little bit of that tonight, but also we're going to see God is always teaching people lessons. He's always teaching people things, and especially leaders. He's always teaching people that are leaders, and always teaching people that are moving into leadership. And some of you don't realize it, but God is moving you into a leadership positions and things, whatever that may be. And as He does that, He's going to make you get you to a place to rely on Him. We're all in a different place tonight. Every one of us are in a different place tonight. No one's better than anyone, but God sees us all in a different place. Some of us are more into our spiritual walk with the Lord. Doesn't make us better than anyone. Others are not. But the key is that God wants to see us grow in Him. He wants us to see us more of a Christian today than we were 6 months ago or a year ago. And tonight, it's going to look like we're talking about Moses, and we are, but we're going to really be talking about Joshua. But I want to show, because God had called His people to go to a land of milk and honey, go to the promised land, which is not heaven, but the promised land, and going to take care of them. And He's taken them out of slavery. A lot of them couldn't get the slavery thing out of their mind. A lot of them couldn't get those things out of their mind as He even went through and saw the great miracles that God did. But what we see here now is a piece where they're going to have to fight. And there's a time, you know, when there's a time to fight. And when we see that God is going to bring His people through a land, and they're going to have to fight. God doesn't just give us things on a platter and say, here you go, just because we ask God to. He's just not always going to just put it right there so you can just partake of it. You got to work it. You got to work what He has in front of you. Because if He just throws it out in front of you, He knows what's coming ahead, and you are not going to be ready for it. So you've got to be able to do some things. These people need to learn how to fight. Remember when we talked about it last time, they were coming, God didn't take them to the quickest route to the promised land, because if they saw the enemy, they would have turned and ran, even though they were armed, because they weren't ready. God said they didn't know how to fight. And so now we're going to see a piece here where they are going to fight these Amalekites. These Amalekites are coming after them, and I want to tell you, anytime that you're walking in your walk with the Lord the way God wants you to, doesn't make you perfect, but you are trying to do what God's called you to do, enemy is going to be right there in front of you, always going to be beside you, or he's hot on your tail. He's always wanting to bring you down. He always wants to take you out, whatever it may be. But I want to tell you, God has a plan. But that plan isn't always just a big tablecloth and a big dinner that He lays out for us. Sometimes it takes some work to get there. And it's going to take some work for these guys to get there. So here we go. Chapter 17 and verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua. Now Joshua is the kind of a right hand, but he's not the priest guy. Not Aaron, his brother. Not the high priest guy. But he is. Joshua is this guy that kind of went up into the mountain, even with Moses, for them 10 commandments, because he's the one, when they came down the mountain, he says, hey, I hear the battle cry. And Moses said, no, that sounds like dancing. And he would stand outside the tent, and nobody would be able to come through. Joshua was this guy you probably didn't want to mess with. And he was a young guy. And he did what he was told. And so he's going out, he's going to battle. That's what he does. And so Moses said to Joshua, why don't you choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. That's all he says. Now I want you to gather up some men and know how to fight, and I want you to go down there. And you're going to fight these guys because they're coming up here to kill us. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now we have Moses, we got Aaron, we got this guy named Hur. Not Ben Hur, but a guy named Hur, okay? So we got three men that are up on a hill. Now I know there's some other times when we see like Jesus taking his three guys going up on a hill, going into a garden. Special things happen when small groups get together. And it's not that they don't love the crowd. It isn't that they don't love the congregation, the people. But God has something to say. God has something to do. And what we're going to see here is sometimes we need to leave the crowd for a minute and see what God has for us if he calls us. But some of us, we have to go down and fight the battle. And Joshua is going to go down and fight the battle. So it says in verse 11, as long as Moses held up his hands, okay, he has his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So basically, as he can keep his hands up, they would win. God's people were winning. When they keep them down, they'd be losing. Now that doesn't make much sense. In some sense, it really kind of feels like, why? What did God? Why did God do that? But it says, when Moses grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. This all day thing. There's no lunch breaks. This all day thing. This is not, I get to go clock out for 10 minutes, I get to go take a break. No, this is all day thing. People's lives are on the line. They're out there, they're doing this thing, they're watching this hill. Now I want to tell you something. There's one thing when people sit there and as they were in that battle, there's another thing when they're up on the hill. Now, you imagine that the guys are down in the battle, they're swinging their swords and they're fighting, trying to stay alive and beat the enemy. They're seeing the blood slinging, and they're slashing, and they're poking, and they're prodding. They're doing all those things, and the people are dying. But there's also something else going on. And they'll say, well, that's where the action's at. And it's true, that's where the action's at. But sometimes the action's on the hill. Why in the world are they going to sit there and have God, will somebody hold up Moses' arm over here, and somebody else holding up here? When they go down, they get tired, they start losing the battle. I want to tell you one thing I believe it is here. It is this. The battle is not ours anyway. The battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's one thing they needed to learn. Their victories wasn't because they were so great on the battlefield. Because the enemies that they were really fighting, most of them were better fighters. A lot of times they were better fighters. But God would do amazing things. So we see this going up and down. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Yes, we won. We won. Then the Lord said to Moses, now, here it is. The Lord said to Moses, don't talk to nobody else, because the Bible says he spoke to Moses. He says, now I want you to write on the scroll as something to be remembered. I want you to write this today. I want you to write today on a scroll for it to be remembered. And he said this, and make sure that Joshua hears it. Make sure Joshua hears it. And then Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Waving, the Lord is my banner. And he said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So there's a victory on the battlefield, but there's also a victory on the hill. It was a together thing. And sometimes we as Christians, we want to be so individualized and it's just us, and we forget that God is doing more than what we can see. Now I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 10. This is where I want to camp for the rest of the time that we have. Now remember, Moses was leading the people. Moses now has died. 40 years in the desert, the people wondered. And all those people died except for Joshua and Caleb, the old age, I believe, of 20. The rest of them died. And the rest of these guys, the new babies, grow up. And there's a new generation up. They came in. They took over Jericho. They had, and so we see these things. All along Joshua's life, God was showing himself. More to him outside of Moses than anyone else. He stood outside the tent. He was able to, he had many private conversations with Moses. He had many of those things. He walked across the Red Sea at a very, very young age as God moved it up and let the people, the Israelites, walk as on dry land. He was observant of the Ten Commandments. He ate from the manna of, he ate from manna from God. He seen water come from the rock. He seen the people getting bit by the serpents and then looking at the bronze serpent and being healed. He's seen the quail come in that God provided for the quail. It's 40 years out in the desert. He knows what it's like now. Not to just be that commander, a fighter, general, that big fighter. Now, God called him out. And if you read your Bibles in the first chapter, God just told him to be strong and courageous. That's it. Be strong and courageous, tells him several times. Because now it's going to be different. We're not just wandering out in the desert. Now we're taking over. And there's something about taking over land. If you take it over, then you got to occupy it. It's not a hit and run. You got to occupy. That becomes very important. So he knows what it's like to not lift a sword and all of a sudden have victory while running around all the whole times around, seven times around Jericho, and the walls start falling down. There's a victory there. And people seen it, and the fear went across the land. But he also knows what it's like to have defeat when he goes to Ai, and he has a defeat there. And he goes, why did we lose? And he found out that there was sin in the camp, and someone was cheating, and someone had lied and stolen and broken. But I want to tell you, there's some things that he'll never forget. He'll never forget any of those. I think two of the things that he'll never forget is one, is his loss at Ai. You'll learn more from your defeats and your losses than you will from your victories. And number two is when the angel of the Lord came up on him with sword and shield, and he said, who are you for? And the angel of the Lord said, I'm not neither for you or them. I am for the Lord Most High. So we see he's seen that it wasn't that God, the angel of the Lord was for him, but it was for God. There's a lot that he learns, and he's going to call, he's going to do something that's never been done before. In the past, they made a partnership a little bit with some people that were not Jewish. Let's read over to Joshua chapter 10. He's got a couple victories in his sight. There's a little of this thing with the Gibeonites going on. But he said in verse 4, he says, come, now what they've done is that there's a king, and he says, come up and help me attack Gibeon. He said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. So there's going to be five kings now, five kings. Five kings means five armies, right? And they're going to come up against Joshua. You see, I don't think he would have been able to handle those five kings if he wasn't able to handle Jericho. He wasn't able to handle the Amalekites at that battle or any other battles. God was preparing him for a bigger fight. Times now that he is the leader. And it says, the Gibeonites then sent word in verse 6 to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up us quickly and save us. Help us because the Amalekites kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. I want to tell you, when you're walking your life as a Christian, your enemy is not always the one you think it is. There's usually a few others. They just don't open their mouths. And if you can't see them as a person, believe me, you have some in the spirit world that are your enemies. And they whisper dark things and lies and gossips and things that are not true, or they share half-truths, and they try to get you in confusion and try to get you to overwhelm in fear. And so we see now that there is an army that is bigger. And I want to tell you, there are things that are bigger than what we can handle. There are things in our life that we cannot handle on our own. You get sick. You come down with a disease. You lose a loved one right out of the blue. You go through a hardship thing that you didn't think was going to happen. You lose a house. You lose your car. You lose your job, whatever it may be. And nothing is more horrible than when somebody comes up and just says, I got you, I'll pray for you, walk away. Well, first of all, it's your weight that you got to carry. So many people just blow words in the wind. They say things, but they don't really mean them. And if they do mean them, it's pretty shallow. We don't love on each other as we should at times, and we don't pray for each other as we should at times. Just remember that whatever they've got could be on you next. Whatever they're going through, you might just be the next one going through that same tunnel. And I want to tell you, it can be pretty dark at times. I was wondering sometimes if Joshua was thinking about Moses a few times, what would Moses do? But so what's happened now is these people are calling for Joshua. We need help. Now here's the thing, these people were not of God's people, but they made this little, there's this deal going on in a little bit before the chapter. chapter prior, which is important, which basically means we could have wrote them off. Joshua could have wrote them off, but he didn't. He keeps his promise. We're not going to fight you. We're kind of together. You know you kind of tricked us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal and his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Do not be afraid of them." We need to remember that God is telling him, do not be afraid. And it's easy to read that at times, but it's hard to put that in front of us at times, because your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. Very seldom will you find anywhere outside of biblical scriptures where five armies go against one and that one wins. Very seldom. Very seldom. Because it's a numbers thing. Especially back then, it was a numbers thing. But the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. It continues to tell him that. Do not be afraid. Because we are creatures of our eyes. We believe in what we see. There may be some of you tonight that says, I really wish I could believe in God if you'd just show me something. Maybe someone else would be saying, man, I haven't felt God move in a long time. I really don't. I wonder if he's even there. So our faith gets tested from time to time. And no more will it be tested when your back is against the wall. But here's the awesome part that God has. Verse 7 says, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal. He's going to the battle. He's not running from the battle. That's one thing God does. He doesn't run, but we run. There's people that's ran and left this church because they didn't want to work things out. With you or me or this church, they chose to run. You know, there's no victory in running. There really isn't. There's no victory in running. People don't have testimonies today because they run away from the battle as to the battle. When you're in the battle, that's where your testimonies come from. When your back is against the wall and you're using all the faith that you got, that's where your testimony comes from. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you how God moved upon this situation. So the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. And then something happens. It says, verse 9, after an all-night march from Gilgal, and these guys, an all-night march, okay? All-night march. Joshua took them by surprise, and the Lord threw them into a confusion before Israel, and who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. And Israel pursued them along the road going to Beth Huron and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Mekah, as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah. The Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Now we would think that, wow, that's a miracle. God's throwing hailstones down. They're not hitting the Israelites, but they're hitting the enemy. I want to tell you, whenever God shows up, the enemy always flees. Did you know that? The enemy always flees. And if he doesn't flee, his head gets cut off. God doesn't play. He doesn't play. And then when that guy gets his head cut off, then everybody says, we're out of here, and they all run. But what happens next is one of these things that people go, oh, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. I might be able to believe in hailstones coming from the sky, but I can't believe what happens next. It says, on that day, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Did you hear that? God gave the enemy over to the Israelites. God says, the enemy taking you, taking that junk in our life, when we do it the way God wants us to, he'll take it and he'll give it to you and you can have victory over it. You win. It says, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel. Now here's what happened. There's a piece that gets stuck into this battlefield that is an amazing piece. In this battlefield, he said, oh son, stand still over Gibeon. He wanted more daylight. He didn't want them to escape. They're fighting all day. He says, O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So, here's what happens. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped. Now, many people think that's an eclipse, whatever you may say it is, but I'm telling you, it's nothing like we've seen before. It just stopped. God can do that. He created it. He created it. This the problem is with our faith is we don't believe God can do what he says he can do. So we take the steering wheel and say, get your hands off God. I got this. And okay. And then next thing we know, oh Lord Jesus, help me out. And that's what we do. We start spinning on ice. We start heading toward a tree. But Joshua didn't do that. He said, oh, we got a problem. These guys are going to take off. We need something that only God can do. Now, this takes a person. Now, a person just doesn't go from a new believer right up to this point of just like, okay, I'm going to say, son, you need to stop. Oh, sun, stand still over Gibeon. Oh, moon, you stop. Everything just stop. You stay over there. Nobody does that unless you're just high on God. Unless you believe that God walks with you, sleeps with where you're at, you breathe the air that he created, and you know that your life really is only in existence because he allows you to live. You understand those big things of life saying this. I don't understand it all, but I know that he does. And I ain't nothing. And he's everything. And when I'm done in this world will continue on, but it would never be able to continue on without God. So the sun stood still. And the moon stopped till the nations avenged itself on its enemies. Until they got victory. As it is written in the book of Jeshar, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky. See, it's even written in another book. And delayed going down about a full day. And it says, there has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord, here we go, listened to a man. He listened to a man, and surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. There's never been a day like it before since that God listened to a man. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and do anything crazy. But I am telling you, I'm asking you to challenge, what do you really believe in? Is church just a function to come and sing a few songs and hear an encouraging message to try to get me through the week and come back and redo it again? Is it a relationship where I say, I'm saved, I believe in God, but I still believe I can live this way and I can do these things and it's okay because I believe it's okay? We believe too much in what we think we believe. We follow too much in what we believe and not enough of what God's Word says. God's Word tells us how to stay out of trouble. God's Word tells us how to live a life that is pleasing to Him. God tells us even how to be blessed. But He also tells us about curses too. He also tells us about this punishment and the discipline that He puts upon us. But this man was a man who not just came up one day and said, I'm going to call it. This man had a history of testimony after testimony after testimony. He saw the Red Sea and he walked across it and he believed it. Matter of fact, there's a part where they walk across some water, and it opens up again. You know, the Red Sea is not the only part in the Scripture where water has been opened up. We see that also with Elijah, after Elijah ascended to heaven. We see many times they just whoosh, God. That's kind of common in the Old Testament. But we don't believe that God can do things. We don't believe that he can remove diseases anymore. We don't believe that he can move mountains. Whatever the mountain is in your life, we don't believe those things. We don't believe that he could stop the sun again. I'm going to tell you, the Scripture says that there's going to be a day where there's going to be some miracles and people are going to believe that is of God. It's not. That's going to be of the Antichrist. And there's going to be some major miracles going on, but it's not of God. It's of darkness. There's going to be some miracles and some healings going on, but it's not of darkness. It's to pull the people toward the darkness. because people believe in what they see. Faith is here. Faith is believing, but even though you don't see, you believe. That's what the patriarchs, Abraham, Moses, all those guys, were lifted up for. That's what we see in Hebrews. But our faith has got to get more in our lives. My faith has to increase. Your faith needs to increase. When's the last time God dropped food out of the sky for you? When's the last time you walked on water? When's the last time you walked across and said, I want to go over that fishing spot, and you made the water went out and you walked across and you fish where you want? And that's the kind of miracles we're looking for. But he's doing miracles every day. Every day. We think we need to be on TV and it's people sending all their money to watch somebody on TV heal people. Be slain in the spirit. This is one thing I always tell people. Go back to the scriptures. What was Jesus doing? What was Jesus doing? What was Jesus doing? Jesus was near the brokenhearted, those who were hurting, those that were, oh man, they were in bad shape. Folks, we got our Christianity wrong. It ain't having a Cadillac and living uptown. God gives you that, praise the Lord. God just blessed you with it. But that's not being a successful Christian. And we're getting that wrong in the American church. Salvation doesn't come from what you have and what church you go to. We're missing it. When you hear in the scriptures that the sun stood still, you go, praise God, I believe it. And the moon too. But a lot of Christians are not believing that anymore. They're not believing that of these things. They're coming up with science and all kinds of these things that would come up with another way of explaining it. Listen, all I know is this. I've seen miracles, and you have too. You're one of them if you know Jesus Christ. Look at your life and see where it is today and where you were heading before. And that's a big testimony. Look where you were heading before. Death was laughing, ready for you, arms open wide, until you came to know who Jesus was and it was about face, and you went in the other direction. Because the Bible says, wide is the gate. But I want to tell you, we got to start believing that God is God. And that Jesus is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And if you really believe that, then you know you have Him inside here. And if He opens it up, and you were able to call something out, or you were able to call on the Lord, and the Lord did a miracle, don't be surprised that He did it. Don't be surprised that He does it. You see, I think we limit God. I think we say, well, Lord, help me get a job. There's nothing wrong with it. We need jobs. Lord, help me get a job. Help me to graduate. Lord, help me in this situation. Help me, Lord, in this one. Help me in that one. We just don't pray big enough sometimes. We don't pray big enough. Because I think we serve a big God. I think He is big, and I think He's waiting on people to ask for big things. Not just to be asking, but for that faith to be challenged, that faith to be exercised. My faith itself needs to be increased. And maybe your faith needs to be increased as well. I don't know if we really understand it, but you walk every day as the Spirit of God who created all of this stuff in the world, who set all the stars in their spots. Does anybody here struggle with your faith? We all struggle with our faith, don't we? We all struggle from time to time. I want to read something for you. Whenever I get challenged in my own walk with the Lord, I seem like God brings me to this place and it just kind of puts me in my spot at times when I think I got too much on me, or I like this is just too much to bear, too much for all of this. And it always takes me back to the book of Job. I'm going to, just a couple of pieces and then I'm going to close out. Who is this? Well, let me read this. Then the Lord answered Job out of a storm, so God is speaking through a storm. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. I want to tell you that God speaking through a storm is not unusual. It's not unusual. It's not unusual. We think has anybody here had a anybody here have one of those talks with God where you threw it all out? Then the Lord answered Job. Why did he answer? Because Job had some questions. He's like, well, why is this all happening to me? He says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out its measuring line across it, or where its footing set, or have laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together? And all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds in its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in a place? And when I said, this far you may come and no farther? Here is where your proud waves halt. And it goes on and it goes on, and God speaks all these amazing things. Were you there with all these amazing things? I think it's normal for us to be like that from time to time. I don't speak ill of Job. I respect Job very highly. I'm driving my truck. I'm broke. A rock hits my windshield. It cracks across the piece. About ready to lose my truck anyway. Behind on the bills. Got all kinds of problems going on. And I pulled that, and it started raining and storming. I said, what else? Come on, keep on bringing the hits. Are you even here? And then I got gutsy and pulled out one of those little Bibles and said, you tell me where you're at. You don't think that's a low point in your life? That's a low point. As a believer, that's a low point. This is before I'm pastoring. But believe me, pastors go through things as well. Right, Dan? And I'm sitting there shaking this thing. It's just me and my beat-up truck and my cracked windshield, and it's storming out like crazy. And I took that Bible and I said, you tell me where you are. And I lift that Bible up, and this light shined on a verse, two verses. And you know in your Bible, it's not like it wasn't shining like a flashlight. It was a square light. Now, you can't make a square light, can you? All I saw was words, but I only saw the scripture that was being outlined in this really bright light. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, and what you will wear. I said, what? I dared not look over my shoulder. And then as I kept reading, and then did it again, verse 31 in Luke, light shined right on it. It says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. God's taking pretty good care of me when I have and when I didn't have. What was I doing at that moment? I'll tell you, it was a scary moment. I didn't dare look over my shoulder because that's not what I needed. It was already in front of me. What it was I believed in God. There was no doubt that I believed in God. I was just having a conversation with God, and I was just getting loud, and I knew he was there, like I'm talking to you. I knew he was there, and I just shook it, and I said, come on, because I believe in who he is. But that doesn't mean that I don't have problems. That doesn't mean that I was struggling. I thought, where is he at? I'm trying to follow your way. And for my day, that day, I wasn't asking the sun to stop because I was in a battle on the battlefield. I was asking for the sun to stop in my situation because I couldn't take any more hits. Because I was just saying, take it out. Let's just go. Take it out. I'm done. And believe me, there was a lot more than the truck windshield. There was a whole lot more than that. And I want to tell you, something came over me as I drove away. None of my problems were fixed right there. But there was a restoring of the joy of the Lord that came through me that I could not make on my own. It was something that I drove through the rest of that storm and home, and I was like walking on water. And God began to bless, take care of some of those things. I'm going to close with this, as I said before, but I think you need to hear this. I still got a lot to learn in my walk with God. I really do. I really do. I borrowed Phil Robertson's Cadillac. He let me borrow it for a while. You know, if you ever drove a big boat, taking the boys over to an upwards basketball game, and we do a spin because a car jumps in front. We do a spin, and we end up in a ditch. I see this little escort hit a telephone pole, and it was a lady. Steering wheel was jammed up against her chest, and I asked her. I said, "I went across the street. I said, are you okay?" She said, "I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs." And so I said, all right, this is the only thing I know what to do is ask God, right? So I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, God, I don't know this lady. And then all of a sudden, police officer comes and takes me and pushes me out of the way. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't get a chance to pray for her. So we didn't go. We walked home because we were just right on the corner. Me and the boys got home. I said, boys, this girl right here, she can't feel her legs. She can't feel her legs. I said, we're going to pray right now. So we just kind of huddled up together, and we prayed for this lady that the Lord would give her legs and let her feel. I found out what hospital she went to, and I called the hospital a few hours later. And they said, we know that lady. That lady just came in from an accident. Yeah, she couldn't move her legs. But just a short time ago, all of a sudden, her legs began to move. And she walked right out of here. Doesn't mean I'm anybody. But when you pull the trigger on your faith, when you pull the trigger on the faith that you have in God, it's God who is the one. It's God who is the one. God wants to do more. And I wonder sometimes, Lord, where's the... I haven't seen one in a while. I haven't seen one in a while. And I have to look. It's not him, it's me. Because he's still doing awesome things. Did Joshua call on the Lord to stop the sun from shining or stand it still and the moon to stand still? Of course he did. And I believe that 110% of my heart. But I believe it, that God can do something in the midst of my life. Wherever I walk, not that I'm powerful, but that he is powerful. Do I believe he can do something in our midst? I do. I do. Because that's the God we serve. The miracles that he did from Egypt to the promised land, those were awesome. But he didn't stop. He also went through just the promised land with Joshua. And he didn't stop. He went through Elijah and Elijah. He didn't stop. He right went through the hands of Jesus Christ. And he didn't stop. He went through the apostles. And he didn't stop. And now he's going through us. And I sometimes wonder, are we the ones causing it to stop? Father, as we're getting ready to close this service, Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, for anyone whose faith is struggling, anyone whose faith is being at a point where it's maybe in shipwreck, or maybe to a place where it's just fragile, or with uncertainties and unsure, and maybe not quite believing in you as strong in your power as they used to. I pray, Father, as we take this time to have this moment of reflection and obedience to you, I pray, Father, that you'd move on. Whoever needs to hear tonight needs to be encouraged through it. Step out in faith. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.